And with that, let's go ahead and get started. My name is Girish Raja. I'm a technical product manager with Microsoft. Been with the Dynamics CRM product for about 8 years in a variety of different roles, you know, from being a consultant and a partner to a developer to an architect, all the way to finally joining Microsoft, being an evangelist, being a product manager, being a marketing guy, and everything you could imagine of. So got a bit of an experience in this area, the saying. And one of the things that I've also been doing all along is been working with SharePoint, again, in many roles as a consultant and as a developer. And this is an area of particular interest to me, is about integrating SharePoint and CRM together. And this is the first time ever we're going to talk about SharePoint 2013 and CRM. So it's kind of a challenge that I took upon. You know, somebody said, you know, hey, we should have a CRM and SharePoint 2013 session, and everybody stood back, and I was still standing there, so they kind of volunteered me for this session. And but again, we've got a very exciting session. There's lots of content to cover, and again, the session tag is SPC085, in case you're wondering if you're in the right room or not. And again, if you have any questions, you can also tweet during the session or after the session. My Twitter handle is at the bottom. Again, it's at Girish R. And if you want to reach me, you can go to blogs.msdn.com, @GirishR, and go to the contact form and contact me. And seeing all the handles, it shouldn't be too hard to figure out my email address. Just saying. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. This was one of the slides from the keynotes that really talks about Dynamics. How many people are not familiar with Dynamics in this room? There's a few of you. Dynamics is sort of the business application side of the house. And from a business perspective, for Microsoft, this is really top of the stack. The bottom of the stack is the infrastructure with Windows Azure, Windows, SQL, and all of that. At the middle of the stack is Office 365, Office, and all the things that are productivity related. And really, at the top is Dynamics as a business solution, and it's mostly a finished application. So what does that mean? When you turn on Office 365, you probably expect some configuration. You probably expect a lot of customization before you're ready to go. Where we are aspiring to go with Dynamics is that it's a turnkey solution. You could start it and get go immediately. That's our aspiration. Is it also a platform? In many cases, yeah. But first and foremost, we are the business application and solution for Microsoft. So that's something that I want to emphasize, you know, going forward, is that, hey, we really are, you know, aspiring to be a world-class application. What does it mean across all of Microsoft? You know, when we think about this, again, there's layers of stack, you know, in the Microsoft ecosystem, if you will. What we aspire to be is at the top, where users can consume us through a variety of, you know, devices, whether it be phone, PC, iPads, Windows 8, whatnot. You know, we want people to be able to consume our applications easily. But at the same time, if you look at the left, we want to make sure for customers deploying Dynamics, we want to provide a unified experience, whether it's in subscription, identity, management, development, all of that, we want to make sure we keep it pretty consistent. And this is why one of the reasons we moved to the Microsoft Online Services platform. And for people that are not familiar, you know, CRM has two versions, Dynamics CRM, that is. I mean, even though when I talk about Microsoft Dynamics, there's two parts to Dynamics. There's the ERP side of house, which is wonderful, but I don't care about that. I guess I don't know about that. What we are going to be focusing is on the CRM side, the customer relationship management. Now, AX, GP, Great Plains, NAV, and all those things, that terms that you might have heard of, are on the ERP side, and we're not going to talk about that today. We're just going to talk about the customer relationship management, the CRM side. Now, CRM has two different flavors. We have an on-premises product that you can buy and install, and we have also an online product, CRM Online, just like SharePoint, you know, the same code base and everything. We were based on Windows Live ID for CRM Online. So this was a separate site. You have to sign in using Windows Live ID and all of that. But last year, we made a strategic move to migrate CRM Online to the same platform as Office 365. And let me show you what I mean by that. So I'm going to quickly jump over to my demo machine here. So what you can see here is I'm logged into my Office 365 admin portal. And in this admin portal, you know, for those that have the Office 365 you know, admin, what you can see is that, you know, you have your Outlook, Link, Team Site, and all of that. And right underneath, you have your CRM. So any user that's logging into the online portal, they can get to CRM right next to their SharePoint site and Link and everything else. If I go over to the admin, what you'll also see is the same thing. I can manage my Exchange, SharePoint sites, my desktop apps and everything, and my CRM management is right next to it. And for Office 365 customers, if you don't know anything about CRM, if you want to try a preview of CRM, all you have to do is go to subscriptions, click on purchase, and if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see Dynamic CRM Online right there. You can start a 30-day free trial, no credit card, you know, required, or you can buy it for $44 a user a month. And what does this mean for administration? When you think about this, this is all in a single unified environment, which means if I federate my Office 365 domain for single sign-on, it's automatically, you know, federated for my CRM Online as well. I don't have to do anything extra. And what does this mean from a user management perspective? You know, if I take a look at all my users that I have, let's say Terry Adams, for example, I'm going to pick on one of these users. If he's an Office 365 user, and if I want to add CRM to him, I just click on one checkbox, and it says there's a warning about, you know, giving the appropriate CRM permissions after this. But again, you're two clicks away from adding a CRM license to an existing Office 365 user. And that's really the power. Again, you know, if I have a federated domain user, same applies. You know, I give them permissions to CRM or the other kind of applications, and they immediately get access. They use the same username and password. So this is really what we are trying to make sure is that we simplify it for our customers and our partners, for the partners among you, to make sure that you can develop and build on this in a very easy fashion. And what does this mean is that there's going to be a lot more tighter integration. This is just tip of the iceberg, the first step in tightly integrating the Office suite along with, you know, Dynamics. What you're going to see from going forward is things like once you add Office 365 and CRM together, your email connection would be automatically hooked up. Your document connection is automatically, you know, set up for you. And these are things we are aspiring to be so that, you know, when you turn on a subscription with Office 365 and CRM, everything is lit up and everything just works. And again, that's our aspiration. That's our North Star. I'm not going to give you a timeline on when that's going to happen or when that's going to be ready, but strategically, this is where we are headed. Now, again, when we think about Office 365 or just SharePoint and CRM, there's a lot of things you could possibly do. There's probably about a million things we could do. But for the next hour and 15, we're just going to focus on three things. First, we're going to talk about document integration, and more importantly, the extensibility, how you can extend what we provide out of the box. Now, Ruben Krippner had a session about document collaboration yesterday. Anybody attend that session? A couple of you. Again, you can go back and watch the recordings. Ruben showed from an IT pro and an end user perspective on how you can use documents in SharePoint effectively with CRM. We're going to talk about the development side of the house today. And again, this is a 300-level session, so we're going to go pretty deep into the technology, and we're also going to, you know, dig into some code. Any non-developers in the room? There's nothing wrong with it. There's a few of you. So what we'll do is we'll do a functional walkthrough of every demo first, and then we'll go into the code, and that's probably a good time for you to, you know, check up on your emails or, you know, ask a tweet question or something like that, so I won't be offended. So the next thing we're going to talk about is BI with self-service analysis and Power View and what that means with, you know, Office 2013 and SharePoint 2013 and how that ties back into CRM, and there's some exciting things here. And last but not least, of course, we're going to talk about business connectivity services, which I think is a very strategic thing going forward, especially for, you know, vast majority of our enterprise customers. Again, there's a lot more we could talk about. We're not going to have time to talk about in this session, but be happy to chat with you after this session. Again, if you have any questions, can wait till the end, but if you have a very burning question that needs to be answered right away, there's a couple of microphones there. Please come to them, because the session is indeed getting recorded. So, you know, go to the microphone and ask any questions if you have. So, and again, like I said, there's a lot more things, things like fast search, things like workflow integration, and many other topics that we are not going to be able to talk about, but, you know, I'll be happy to chat with you afterwards. And for those of you that are not familiar with Dynamics CRM, it's really three core workloads. It's the sales, customer service, and marketing automation. If you need an application for any three of these workloads, Dynamics CRM is the product that you would want. And of course, there's an idea called extended CRM, which we can briefly talk about. The idea of taking the platform that's underneath, again, we are a true .NET application. We had our last release, CRM 2011, back in February of 2011. And it was a phenomenal release for us because it was built on .NET 4, it was built on SQL. If you were to build a .NET application from the ground up, CRM would be a perfect example. You know, classic three-tiered hierarchy and everything. And what some of our customers have done is they've taken the platform, and in addition to sales, marketing, and customer service, they've built additional applications on top of the platform. Applications like vendor management, asset management, employee management, and things like that. And the benefit of doing that is, you know, they get all the advantages of accessing those new applications using their tablet, desktop, or phone, or any of those devices. And because this is an application, configuration comes first. Customization and coding comes next. So anything that we try to do, we want to make sure that a power user or an administrator can configure it. And of course, you know, there is room for writing code and extensibility only if you have to. That's one of the mantras that we believe in and that we strongly follow. And one of the other critical things about Dynamics CRM is that we have a single code base for our cloud, which is the CRM Online product, and our on-premises product. And we've aspired to have feature parity among both of these. And with the release coming up in December, we would be 100% feature compatible between online and on-premises, meaning you could deploy custom code onto our CRM Online server. You could have your custom code call out third-party web services and everything like that. And what this means is that from a technical perspective, there is not going to be any limitation you will run into, you know, when you go to the online. Of course, if you want to, you know, upload a petabyte of data, you know, we are not going to let you do that on our online database, but, you know, you probably want to use Windows Azure for that. But from a technical usability and functionality perspective, our online and on-premises product are at parity with each other. And same goes for the demos. You know, all the demos that I'm going to show you today, you know, we'll mostly cover online, but in some cases we'll cover on-premises. But regardless, all of the functionality will be available for both online and on-premises customers. And again, for the architects and developers in the room, and I just want to show you a quick peek into the deep dive architecture of CRM. Again, it's a classical three-tiered model. We have our data and metadata stored in a SQL server at the bottom. And again, we support, you know, SQL 2008 to SQL 2012, the latest release. In fact, we are running SQL 2012 in our CRM Online database. And if you think about the high availability and disaster recovery capabilities SQL 2012 came out with, you know, we were one of the preview pilot customers. And in fact, we are the largest deployment of the disaster recovery features provided by SQL 2012. And there's plenty of white papers. If you're trying to do that on premises, you know, check out our white paper. It's going to give you some wonderful guidance you can follow. A layer above, you know, we have our, you know, business logic layer where you have strong extensibility using web services. We have both a WCF endpoint and an OData endpoint. We also have, like I said, the idea of plugins, which is nothing but a .NET assembly that you can upload. And it can interject every transaction, meaning anytime a data goes into the system or out of the system, you can write a custom C-sharp code assembly that can manipulate the data, that can validate the data, that can, you know, do all kinds of things that you want to do with it. And of course, you know, we are running workflow using the workflow foundation. Again, it's .NET 4, so that's WebF4 workflows. And you can have custom workflows. You can build your workflows with the web-based designer that we have. Or you can also write custom workflow activities in .NET and hook them up to CRM if you want. And of course, you know, the layer on top is the UI layer, where we have an extensible web application. You could also build your own web applications or custom integrated applications like BCS, for example, or you could have your own Windows 8 or iPad applications. And of course, we are using SQL Server for our reporting services, you know, for all of our BA capabilities. For our charts, we use the Dundas controls that SQL acquired a while ago. We use SQL reporting services out of the box for our reports. And with some of the Power View capabilities, it's going to be a lot more easier. Again, if you look at this, this is all Microsoft. This is all .NET. This is fairly standard. There is no secret sauce or magic to this. You know, you could do this from the ground up if you want. But what we've done is we've connected it all together and made it pretty much a turnkey solution for everybody. And again, if you look at the platform from an extensibility perspective, there's tons of extensibility. All those little orange gear symbols in the picture represent the extensibility of Dynamics CRM. And as you can see, there's clearly plenty of points where you can extend. And again, this is the same architecture for online and on-premises, except for a little catch, of course. You know, we do allow our customers to directly query the database and just read the data, not write the data. Just read the data. So if you're an on-premises customer, you can directly go against our database and do reports. Or if you're doing fast search, in fact, our recommendation is go, if you're an on-premises customer doing search, because search is typically a read-only operation, you can go directly talk to the database. But the catch is, you won't be able to do that in online. That's the only exception. It's because, you know, we're not going to open our SQL Server to the entire World Wide Web to query. So you're going to have to go through web services if you're doing online. In fact, that's our recommendation is if you are writing or building an application that you want to work with on-premises and online, go through the web services. In very few exceptional cases, you can directly go to the database if you really have to. Again, you have the option, but, you know, be wary of, you know, using it. So the question is, will there be a CSOM, the client-side object model, when we move to the new release? No. The reason is because the reason CSOM exists in SharePoint is for different reasons. Whereas when we looked at our model, because SharePoint 2010, when it started out, it was in .NET 3.5. And to get some of the .NET 4 capabilities, they have to build the whole client-side object model. Because we started out with .NET 4 with our last release, we didn't have a need to do that. So if you are querying our WCF, you can query that using our .NET assemblies, or you could make simple SOAP calls. So you don't need a separate .NET assembly. We do have one if you want. We have JavaScript extensibility right out of the box, so which means you can query and do all kinds of things right out of the box. We do have an OData REST endpoint, which we recommend for, you know, again, built-in JavaScript and Silverlight and all of those, you know, client-side extensibility to query, you know, back and forth. So in short, we don't have a client-side object model because, you know, you really don't need it with CRM. So the question is, the workflow, is that in the CRM process or in the as a separate thing? Is that what you're asking? Got it. So the question is, again, for the recording and for the people that didn't hear the question, SharePoint 2013 has moved the workflow to Azure, which is pretty much outsourcing or externalizing the workflow to a separate box or a process, if you will. Where is CRM going with that? So today, our workflow runs as a separate service called an asynchronous service that is literally separated from CRM, although people typically run it on a box close to CRM. And because it's on Workflow Foundation, you can use the same activities that you build. Any .NET workflow activities can be used with CRM. Typically, what our customers would do is they would put workflow closer to the data. Because that's the difference between SharePoint and CRM, is that SharePoint is very unstructured, and it's very document and kind of unstructured data or semi-structured data in most cases, whereas CRM really is about structured data. It's a data-intensive application, which means if you're building a SharePoint farm, for example, you would put a lot of investment in your front-end servers and in your application servers, because that's where the load is. But when you're building CRM or any kind of data business application, you would beef up your SQL database, because that's where bulk of the processing is because it's a very data-intensive application. And so to that nature, what we're doing is we are looking to put workflow more closer to the data, because there's two things. One is, we want workflow to run as fast as it can. It can query back and forth as soon as it can. So one of the things we are also introducing is workflows traditionally have been asynchronous, but we are investigating ways in which we could make workflows in a synchronous way, which means when a data gets changed, the workflow has to run before the transaction can be committed. So those are the kinds of operations we are looking to enable. So what that means is that in one end, we are trying to put the workflow closer to the data. But on the other end, we are absolutely working with the Azure workflow team to make sure that in the future, you have a master business process orchestration living in the cloud that can tie into CRM and SharePoint together. So that's coming out in the future release. Again, I can't give you a timeline, but we are working very closely with the team so that you can have a master business process. Let's say, for example, a sales opportunity where you start in CRM, the business process goes where the salesperson has to enter some data and create a proposal. Now the proposal has to be approved by a manager. So what the workflow can do is then hand it off to SharePoint, whereas a manager can approve the document in SharePoint, and once that approval takes place, he can come back to CRM and continue along the process. That's ideal. It's possible today with custom code, of course, because this is all .NET and workflow. You could write code to make that happen. But in the future, what we are working with the Workflow Foundation team and the Azure Workflow team is to make sure that's all declarative, and you can drag and drop, point, and customize in the future. So to answer your question, one, yes, we are working with the team to externally integrate, but at the same time, we are not going to move our workflow away from our data, is because the performance of workflow really needs to be better if it can be closer to the data. Does that help? Cool. So again, one of the things people have often asked is, hey, how is SharePoint different from CRM? I mean, also, how is SharePoint similar to CRM? And if this means, do I need SharePoint to build my business apps, or do I need CRM to build my business apps? Where do I put my data? Where do I do all of this thing? And of course, the answer is you want to use them together. Don't think of this as one versus the other. Think about what benefits do you get when you use both of them together. And again, for you as a developer or someone that's deciding, where do I put my logic? Where do I put my processing? Where do I put my investment? The question is really answered by the kind of data in your application. If your application has structured and maybe semi-structured data and mostly unstructured data, you want to put that in SharePoint. Again, this is a very old slide from about 5 years ago, and this slide is still relevant. For those of you that have been with CRM a long time, I can tell you even with 2013 release, this is very relevant, because it's really a data-intensive application that, as I mentioned earlier, so that's where you want to put CRM. When you think about how do people work with the application, whether if it's social, Yammer is the social platform that's going to unify CRM, SharePoint, and all of the other applications together. In fact, in our December release, we are the first Microsoft product to roll out a built-in Yammer integration. And if you want details of that, we had a session on Tuesday about overview of social CRM with Dynamics CRM, so you can go back and watch the recordings of this session. But Yammer truly is the social platform that's going to unify all of this together. But again, the kind of tasks you would do in SharePoint is really simple collaboration or simple exchanges, whereas in CRM, the type of exchange is really tasks and activities, where it's a little more formal. You want certain person to carry out a certain thing by a certain date. It absolutely has to be done. Those are the kind of things that you would put in CRM, for example. When you think about how do you store your data, SharePoint really is about information evolution on how you manage the data, how do you manage vast collection of unstructured data, How do you apply archiving policies? How do you apply governance policies and all of that? Whereas with CRM, it's more about, you know, you have this highly structured, highly rich data. How do I get analytics? How do I do data mining? How do I do data warehousing on the data itself? Now, you might surface that on SharePoint, but if you have such kind of data, that data has to live in CRM. Same thing goes for business processes. Again, if you're doing a casual, informal workflow, whether if it's a collect feedback or a document approval, you know, those simple things live in SharePoint. Whereas if you have a 7-stage workflow with 5 steps on each stage, you know, such kind of a formal business process, you would probably want to implement within CRM. Again, the list goes on and on, but essentially, the data, which is the first thing that drives this decision, pretty much drives the rest of it on where you want to keep those application components, you know, whether if it's SharePoint or CRM. And of course, if you use them together, you get the best of both worlds. Oops, I did not want to do that. Sorry. Thank you. As you can see, I am very excited about this stuff. Okay. So let's talk about the first topic. Talk about document integration. Now, document integration really is something that we provide out of the box with SharePoint and CRM. Now, with the out-of-box document integration, what you do is, you know, any record that you go into CRM, you know, once you configure the document integration, whether if it's an account, contact, an opportunity, case, or anything like that, once you hit the Documents tab, you will see those list of documents. This will look native to CRM. So this just looks like native CRM documents. But the thing is, you get the native SharePoint functionality. All the check-in, check-out, workflow, and all of that, this is essentially powered by SharePoint. And again, this works with both online and on-premises of SharePoint. This also works with online and on-premise of CRM. So you got the matrix. You can do any combinations you want. It just works. Sure. So the question is, does it work with CRM online and SharePoint on-premises? Yes. Of course, you know, when a user uses this, they have to be in the SharePoint on-premises environment. You know, they should be able to have access to it. But because this is client-side extensibility, it absolutely works. And again, this was traditionally built for the IE browser, but with the December release, we are updating it for, you know, Firefox, Chrome, Safari, and all the other browser types. So if you are existing customers of CRM, and use, so just a quick question, how many of you are new to CRM? Let me just say that, completely new to CRM, more than a few of you. And for those existing customers or partners, how many of you are using CRM and SharePoint together with this document integration? A good number of you, perfect. So you would want to get a new list component in December because that's going to enable working with Firefox, Chrome, and all the other browsers. Again, you just make that update, everything else remains the same. And we are also working on a version for SharePoint 2013. And this is the only demo that I'm not going to show SharePoint 2013. I'm going to stick with the SharePoint 2010 demo for this because our 2013 integration is still in the works, but that's going to come out in early 2013, you know, mostly by January, you know, probably by February. So that's going to come out. And again, you can expect it to work just out of the box. Now, how does this work? In terms of document library structure, every entity, which is nothing but a table in our database, every entity, you know, whether if it's an account, contact, service case, or everything, it gets a separate document library within SharePoint that you configure. And every record, you know, Contoso is an example, ProSware, every one of those accounts, they get a folder within that library. And of course, you know, you can open the SharePoint, you know, can click on the Open in SharePoint button, and you can see that the document actually lives in SharePoint. It is just surfaced as a view for you to see within CRM. So that for CRM users, now all they care about, you know, if I'm a sales guy and if I'm using CRM, all I care about is putting documents in. You know, I don't care whether if it lives in SharePoint or whether if it's in Azure or if it lives anywhere else. All I'm caring about is putting my documents in. But seamlessly, we bring in those so that, you know, those documents can be surfaced. And of course, you know, you can always go to SharePoint and view the same document. You can do search and do all kinds of stuff within SharePoint if you want. Now, when I explain the structure, the first thing that people ask is, no, no, that's not what we want. You know, what we want is a library for every record. Or even better, I want a document workspace for every record instead of a folder, because the folder thing is so limited. And there's many other things like, you know, how does the security work? How does the renaming work? How does merging work and all of that? Again, out of box, unfortunately, we don't do any of these. But of course, you know, if you're willing to write a little bit of custom code, all of these can be done. In fact, all the things that I've listed are what a lot of our existing customers do today by writing a little bit of custom code. We will look to some of these functionalities in the future, but again, the challenge is security, for example. The way SharePoint implements groups is completely different from the role-based security and the security groups that we have in CNM. That said, we are working with the SharePoint engineering group to unify some of those security paradigms, but that's going to take a little while to evolve. But until then, you know, all of these are things that customers do using custom code. In fact, that's the demo I'm going to do now, is to show you, again, for those that are new to Dynamic CRM, we'll quickly show you a functional overview of what it looks like, and then we'll talk about the code, and we'll talk about the extensibility on how someone can extend the custom code. Hey, let me switch over to my demo machine here real quick. Again, you know, from a functionality perspective, again, this looks and feels a lot like CRM. This is CRM 2011. This looks a lot like SharePoint 2010 for those of you. So you got the ribbon, which is like just a shared code base from SharePoint. You got the navigation to the left. And of course, you know, as we evolve to the next CRM release, we are going to move to a consistent visual layout with SharePoint 2013 and all of the latest modern applications. So how does this work? You know, if I go into CRM, if I open up an account record, for example, I'm going to open a store. What you'll see is that, you know, I have different things like, you know, my contact, my phone number, email, all of that. And if I want to go to documents, again, I'm a salesperson. I'm just looking at documents. Now I get all of my documents I want. And if I click on Open SharePoint, there's all the same documents. Again, you can see that, you know, hey, it's the same documents. It actually lives in a SharePoint. It never lives in CRM. You just see a pointer to it from here. And again, if I go a level above, you can see that for every one of my accounts, I have a separate folder. If I go to my libraries, you can see that I have a library for account, I have a library for lead, I have a library for opportunity and all of that. Again, how do you configure this? If you are an IT pro or an admin that and you want to configure SharePoint and CRM together, all you do is go into settings, go into document management, and you download this thing called list component, and you install it in SharePoint. In fact, this is a sandbox solution that you have for SharePoint. So if you go to SharePoint, you go to your solutions, all you do is just upload this list component and activate it. Cool. And once you've activated that, you can go to document management settings, put in the URL of your SharePoint server here. Yeah, let me quickly zoom in to show you. You know, I put in my SharePoint server URL, and I can select the entities that I want document management on. Again, I don't have to select all of them. I can, you know, check the ones that I need and, you know, uncheck the ones that I don't want. Click Next. What it's going to do is it's going to validate the URL to make sure it is a SharePoint 2010 or 2013, and it's going to make sure that the list component's activated. I can go ahead and click Next. And then it's going to say, hey, I'm going to go create all of these document libraries. It's going to take a little while. And in this case, because I've already configured it, it's going to say all of these already exist. And hit Finish, and I'm done. So in about 5 minutes, you can configure the document connection between SharePoint and CRM. And again, we are looking to automate this in the future, but for now, it's about 5 minutes of work. And for the developers in the room, you know, the way this works is we actually have a couple of entities. You know, one's called SharePoint Sites, and one's called SharePoint Document Locations. So if I go to SharePoint Sites, the site that I've configured is right here. It's a record within my SharePoint Sites entity. And if I go to SharePoint Document Locations, you can see that this is a hierarchy. So my default site is at the top. Let me see if I can drag this here a little bit. And you can see that I have a record, you know, one for every one of my accounts in this case. And it's going to say, hey, I'm going to put my content in this relative URL, and my parent URL is this. So you have a hierarchy that goes from your top site to your entity and to your corresponding records. And all of this is data that you can manipulate. And this is really how you extend it. So if you don't want a folder per record, if you want a library per record, or if you want an entire site per record, all you do is you extend this model through plugins. And again, for those of you that are not familiar with plugins, it's pretty easy to get started. All you do is create a custom C# assembly project, and we have some templates that you can use to follow. And once you do that, again, let me show you a functional walkthrough first. So what you saw earlier was library per entity, but in this CRM environment, I've changed it using a custom plugin. And what happens now? So if I go into my accounts, if I go to ProSware, for example, if I go to documents, again, it looks like the same. You know, I can add new documents, I can add and upload existing documents, I can check in, check out, do all of these. But in this case, instead of having a separate folder, I have an entire library for this record, for this ProSware record. So if I go to my libraries, I can see that ProSware has its own document library. And again, if I go out and create a new record, for example, if I hit SBC 2012 and save, what's going to happen is when I save the record, my custom plugin is going to fire, which is going to automatically create a document library in CRM. And it's also going to update the entity models, the SharePoint sites and the SharePoint document locations within CRM, so that all of this is hooked up and configured. So in a couple of seconds, what you'll see is, again, you know, documents just works. And if I go to my SharePoint, if I took the libraries, you can see there's my SBC library for this record that was just created a minute ago. So the question is, what about scalability? What about planning? You know, if I have 16 records, of course it works fine in any case, but what if I have millions and millions of records? Again, what we tell you is follow the SharePoint guidelines. We have essentially outsourced our document management to SharePoint. And follow SharePoint guidelines, whether you're on 2010, 2013, or even this works with SharePoint 2007 as well, by the way. So follow the SharePoint guidelines. If SharePoint says, you know, for your farm, it's better to have not more than 1 million per folder, then you got to think about libraries. You got to think about different site collections for different entities and things like that. So follow SharePoint guidelines as and when possible. Because this is, again, because we give you the extensibility, we really want you to follow the SharePoint best practices in this case. So the question is, can this type of plugin be done in CRM Online? Absolutely, yes. I'm going to walk you through the code after this, and I'm going to show you where you need to make a little changes for online. But of course, you can definitely do this with on-premises and online. Sorry, I have a hard time hearing you. Do you mind moving up to the mic and asking that question, please? And again, you know, this is because this is custom code, a lot more things are possible. One thing that I do want to show you real quick is I have my third CRM instance, for example. In this case, instead of just creating a simple document library, I've enabled content types, which means if I go create a new record on this third instance, SBC 2012, hit save. Again, my plugin's going to fire. It's going to, you know, call SharePoint, create that library and all of that. But this time around, instead of just a simple document and folder, I've enabled content types for, say, for example, for proposals. You know, if I'm creating sales proposals and if I want a template for my entire organization, I can create the proposal or I can create the contract type. And again, leverage SharePoint as much as you can and surface that within CRM. That's really possible with custom code. So the possibilities are literally endless. Yeah.
So my question is, when you create a document inside the CRM, so they are actually created in the content database of CRM, not in the content DB of SharePoint.
So the question is, when I create a document, where does the document live?
Yeah.
It lives in the content database of SharePoint. We do not store the document in CRM at all.
Yeah, but when you install that, the plugin or integration,
sure,
then why we need to integrate it when it already exists in the SharePoint?
So the plugin is, so the question is, you know, why do we need this plugin again?
So the, like the one that you showed us that you downloaded and uploaded in the solutions and you activated, and then you will see the hierarchy into the SharePoint site, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, if the document is already created in the content DB, then why we need to activate that thing?
Very great question. What we store in CRM is pointers. This is a pointer to the SharePoint URL. This is a pointer to a folder in SharePoint that has the documents. That's all we store in CRM. The actual documents lives in SharePoint.
So does that mean when you create the CRM, you are any sales product or the project, you initially define the URL of the SharePoint?
Pretty much. So the question is, you know, how do you plan around this? Is you plan around SharePoint for documents. You plan around CRM for data. Pretty straightforward, you know. We don't want you to store your documents in CRM. Straightforward. It's because, again, we didn't have this when we built CRM originally, and people wanted all the check-in capabilities, all the advanced governance capabilities for documents within CRM, and we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. Pretty straightforward. We said SharePoint has a great functionality. Wonderful. We'll integrate with that. We'll use SharePoint for everything SharePoint is good at. We'll use CRM for everything CRM is good at.
Yeah, the confusing to me is that when you add the documents into it or when you have a hierarchy into the SharePoint, you define the URL of the SharePoint, right?
Correct.
So you're saying that the documents gets created in the SharePoint Content DB, and SharePoint, every web application has a separate, like, kind of table inside the Content DB. So how these things are happening on the back end?
Sure, we can follow up offline. I mean, if you want to go deep into how this thing gets set up and how this thing is architected, we can follow up offline. But again, in simple terms, you know, you can put your SharePoint URLs. Again, you don't have to just stick with one. You can have many site collections and many links here, and you can pick and choose between different one of these as you go along. One last question, and then we'll move on. Is there a question from there? So the question again is, what's the best practice? Do we create one library per entity or one library per record, or, you know, what's the limit? Again, go with the SharePoint guidelines. Again, it's pretty straightforward. If you're just having 1,000 records, it's okay to have 1,000 folders within a library. But again, if you're thinking about millions of records, follow the SharePoint guidelines. What's the SharePoint? How does your firm work, you know, whether if it's 2007, 2010, or 2013? You know, what's the limitations that you have? What's the performance? And what's your SLA? You know, is it okay for somebody to wait for 3 seconds to open a document? If it's okay, then yeah, I mean, go with it. You know, but if it's not, if you want to separate library and if you want to farm out, do that. That's absolutely fine too. Again, go with the SharePoint recommendations. Regardless of what those configuration is, we are flexible enough to support that. Again, I want to quickly drill into the code. Again, this is a custom plugin. There's not a lot of magic sauce. And all of this code, by the way, the code that I'm showing for document integration, is available at the link at the bottom of the slide. Again, it's hard for you to read, but the slides will be available. And a gentleman has put a wonderful blog post walking through step-by-step on how you build this and deploy this. So again, I'm not adding any other magic to this. This is all available. Download the slides, get the URL, and you'll be able to do this on your environment. So again, taking a look at the code, what we do is pretty straightforward. You know, what we do is we query the SharePoint location to get the default SharePoint site first. And once we have the SharePoint site, we call this SharePoint method to create a new document library, and we pass in the record name. So if it's ProSware, you know, I pass in the record name called ProSware. And this is where it goes off and creates a document library. So if we go to the definition of this, you can see for the SharePoint developers in the room, you know, this is pretty straightforward. You know, I create list creation information, template type 101 for document library, I create the document library. And this is where the difference between online and on-premises is. If you're doing on-premises, you're using the Microsoft.SharePoint.client DLL library, but you cannot upload that on online. So for online, you have to do this entire thing using simple SOAP transactions. And again, I'll have a link for that by the end of the session for you if you want to do this for online. I'll show you how. All you need to do is just change this one class file, and the rest of the code remains the same. The rest of the code will function exactly the same. And once the document library is created, we take the document library location, we stick that back into CRM to say, for this record, SPC 2012, here is the URL for SharePoint. So we make that paddings, and we are done. So again, three simple steps, it just works. And again, the idea behind this is, you know, there's a lot you could do with this. There's a lot of things that you want to do with this, you know. What happens to security? You know, when I add a user in CRM, you know, does the user automatically get access to the SharePoint documents? Not out of the box, but you could write a plugin to do that. In fact, many of our financial sector customers, you know, do this kind of extensibility a lot in order to make things happen. One last question for this. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you, sir. Do you mind moving up to? Absolutely. So the question is, can I have a separate side out instead of a library? Absolutely. So can I create a separate site for every one of my accounts and do that? Absolutely. You could do that. You could do that with the mechanism that I walked you through. But when you think about external portal, it's a completely different conversation. We can chat about that afterwards. Sure, yeah, but absolutely you can do this. Again, our model was built to be scalable so that you can use SharePoint, or in some cases, you can even use Windows Azure, for example. You know, you can have a custom Windows Azure page that uploads terabytes of data and start, you know, put that right into CRM. And what this means is that, you know, I'm not saying, you know, don't use SharePoint, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're having terabytes and petabytes of data that you want to upload for a record, you know, whether it's CAD drawings or something like that, the model is extensible enough to plug in any other document provider, for example. Sure, I'll take this quick. Correct. So the question is, you know, somebody's noticed the wonderful password that I have on there for my plugin. Again, because we're doing this from the server side, for demo purposes, I'm using an admin credentials. But for production deployments, we have what's called a service user or a non-integration, or I would call it integration user. We have a separate type of account in CRM to make those kinds of web service calls so that, you know, you use someone that is, you know, anonymous, but you can also impersonate the current user if you want. So you don't have to. You could put that on configuration, or you could, you know, externalize the authentication if you want, absolutely.
Question?
Sure.
All right, so this is actually something I've already tried to do with a couple of customers, and one of them asked a question specifically. They use SharePoint, they've used SharePoint longer than CRM, mm-hmm. and one of the things they really wanted to be able to do was integrate the metadata so that they can better search against these, mm-hmm. you know, these documents, and for CRM to become their primary place to store customer documents. Is that possible to add some extra columns, if you will, rather than just add a, you know, a library versus a folder?
Absolutely. So the content type that I showed you is absolutely what you want, is to add those additional document metadata within those content types. You know, contract, I can have a contract start date and end date as a metadata within the document as a content type. And I can use fast search, for example, to search through them and surface that within CRM. In fact, that's what a lot of our customers do.
And CRM can present that then?
CRM can present that in an iframe way. In fact,
okay, cool.
The whole document integration, the way we show you, is in an iframe page that actually lives in SharePoint. So you could bring in another iframe page, which is the search page within SharePoint, and surface that within CRM, absolutely.
Thanks.
Sure. So moving on, you know, one out of three done. We got two more to go. and we have a million more topics to talk as well. So let's talk about analytics. Again, reporting services, analysis services, all of the traditional ones just work. What we're going to focus today is really on the next step of evolution of BI. Again, within CRM, you know, you have the dashboards capability, which you might have briefly seen when I was showing you the demo. You have the charting, you have all of the wonderful capabilities available out of the box using the Dundas control in SQL. We have a report building wizard within CRM. This is the web-based wizard in which you could configure a report, you can configure the groupings, filtering criteria, lay out the columns and all of that. You can do this right from within the web browser without ever going into Visual Studio to build a report. That's one of the cool things. And at the end of the wizard, the report just works. So you don't need a database developer or an admin to build these reports. And of course, if you want to take this report and extend it, we allow you to download the RDL file for the report, because internally this gets stored as an RDL file, so you can download it and extend it in Visual Studio if you have to. Again, going back to my phrase, we are a business application first. You know, we don't want you to fire up Visual Studio the first thing. Fire up the web browser, configure it, and then use Visual Studio to extend it if you really have to. And again, we have data charts. Again, charts that are powered by data. This is wonderful. Again, you know, if you go back to crm.dynamics.com and look at some of our charting demos, it really is a wonderful example of how you can implement data that coexist with BI capabilities. But what we're going to focus today is really on the self-service side using the Power View capabilities, because Power View brings in some amazing capabilities on how you can analyze the vast amounts of data. Again, Power View was built to analyze millions and millions of records and highly connected data sources. And that's exactly what CRM is. So what we want to show you is really an experience that you can get when you use Power View and many of the other wonderful things that you get with SQL Server 2012 and SharePoint 2010 and 2013. So with that, I'm going to make a couple of ninja moves to get my next demo going. So while I do that, happy to answer any questions that you guys might have. So the question is, does Dynamics have an analytical or some kind of data warehouse behind the scenes to make the reporting happen? No. All of the reports and charts are real-time from the transactional database, because that's what most of our customers want. In fact, you can build a separate data warehouse if you're on-premises, or even if you're online, there are some third parties that allows you to download the data from CRM and create a separate data warehouse if you want. One of the other wonderful things with SQL 2012 is that with the high availability capabilities in SQL 2012, you can have a couple of things. You can have a primary server, and you can have a secondary server for redundancy. Now, typically, those secondary servers just wait for a disaster to happen. You know, up until SQL 2008 R2, the secondary service is just waiting for a disaster to happen. But with 2012, your secondary can be your primary as well. So what this means is that you can run your transactions against your first primary database, and you can have your secondary database for reporting, for example. And if one of your servers goes down, both the duties get to the second server. And once you come back up, you can split up loads, all of this in a seamless way. So that's one of the benefits of SQL 2012. And again, we encourage a lot of customers to move to SQL 2012 just for the same reason. Okay, let's get into the demos here. Okay, the first demo that I want to show you is an on-premises demo. This is SharePoint 2010 running SQL 2012 with Power View for SharePoint installed. And what I can do is I can build a number of these powerful, Power View reports. And I'm going to show you an example of one of these, which is the product sales analysis report. Now, this report, what it does is it queries CRM through the OData Web Services endpoint. Again, we have a couple of Web Services endpoint. We have a WCF endpoint and an OData endpoint. And we recommend you to use the OData endpoint whenever possible. You can, again, directly query the CRM database, but it's better to probably follow the OData endpoint. And again, this is a canned report, but what you can see is that, you know, I can see the distribution by region, I can see the distribution by different products, I can see the 90-day moving average of sales and all of that, and I can also look at salespeople's performance. And where Power View really shines is in how you can dynamically visualize the data. So here I have all of my salespeople's performance, and I can visualize how they did over the last year in an animated timeline. So for example, I can see how people started out in the beginning of the year, and you can see Nancy has been doing a wonderful job at the beginning of each year, so she's been really progressing. Michael and David has been, you know, pretty stiff competition, but Kevin has been lagging all along. So you can see that, you know, people that get an early start really do make an impact in the business in terms of sales, and people that are starting late will often have a hard time. Again, with classical reporting, it's hard to get this kind of insight. It's hard to visualize this, but this is really where Power View comes into play, is to have these kind of visualizations that tells you a story about data already have. Again, this is from one of our sample databases that we had, and we had no idea the data was in it like this until because we were just randomly creating sample data, and then we ran through this, and then we saw that, hey, this is wonderful. Again, you can create many charts, many different layouts like these for your business. Again, PowerView, again, it's a Silverlight-based designer, so you can customize its changes and do all of this in a pretty self-service manner. PowerView is specific for SharePoint and SQL, and it can work with any data source. It can work with CRM. You can mash this up with ERP data. You can mash this up with SAP data. You can mash this up with Oracle data and bring them all into a single dashboard if you want. All of this is possible because PowerView is essentially your visualization canvas. It can hook up to as many data sources as you want. Sure, so can you do market basket analysis and kind of advanced multi-dimensional joins and queries? Yes, absolutely. So the question is, where does the model live? The model lives in Power Pivot. Again, I'm not going to go deep into Power View, but the way Power View works is you have your data source, you build your Power Pivot model, and the Power Pivot model is where you define your multi dimensions and your connections. So you can have disparate data sources, but you have to connect them within Power Pivot. And once you connect them within Power Pivot now understands all the connections, the data models, and the multi dimension of the data. And then you can build the visualizations on top of it. So again, if you get a chance, go watch one of the recordings of Power View sessions earlier in the week, because SharePoint has tons of capabilities possible with Power View. Again, this is on-premises. So if you're an on-premises customer, this works, because, you know, SharePoint going against OData and all of that. One downside that we have in our online today is that our OData endpoint does not work out of the box. And what do I mean by that is, let me go to the architecture slide here real quick. So when you look at the CRM architecture, our WCF endpoints works everywhere in integrated applications, in built-in applications and in reporting and everything else. But our OData endpoint works only in this area today. It does not work out of the box today. We are enabling this in the middle of 2013. So when we have our release in the middle of, H2, early H2 of 2013, we will enable OAuth on our OData endpoint. So you'll be able to do that. But that said, you're not limited by it. This is functionality that's, you know, available for on-premises customers today. But for online, there is actually a wonderful way you can do this. Anybody seen any Excel 2013 sessions or Power BI with Excel 2013? A couple of you. Again, all of this, today if I have to run this, I have to run a multi-gigabyte virtual machine with SQL 2012, SharePoint, and all of that. It's kind of a heavy lifting when you think about it for a simple analysis setup. But again, because we want this to be self-service, we want this to really be simplified. So with Excel 2013, we are bringing the same Power BI capabilities to Excel and nothing else, just Excel. You don't need SharePoint. You don't need to run a heavy lifting SQL 2012 backend. You can do this right within Excel. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you an example of how you can do this online with Excel 2013. And the demo gods have been favorable to me so far this week. Keeping my fingers crossed, making sure this connection works. And if you're downloading a wonderful movie for the plane this evening, and it's probably a good time to pause. All right. Let's give it a couple more seconds, see if it comes up. And I just got in late early morning, and I was told that earlier this week it was absolutely terrible, and I feel sorry for the presenters, but again, you know, we have to live with what we have. So let me walk you through another example. Again, here I'm running CRM Online. Let me see if this comes up. Worst case, I do have a video backup of the demo that I'm going to follow you through, so keep my fingers crossed. I think everything works. Perfect. Okay. So in this case, I'm looking at a list of all of my opportunities within CRM Online. And if I want to do some Power BI analysis on this, how do I do this? We have an export to Excel button built right within CRM Online and on-premises. And I can hit export to Excel. And again, I can export my CRM data as a static worksheet or as a dynamic pivot table or a worksheet. This is built out of the box, so you don't have to build in some kind of extensibility for this. And when I click on dynamic worksheet, I can choose the columns that I want within the report. So here is the default list of columns. I can remove the columns, change the order, add additional columns, and all of that stuff you want. And in this case, I'm just going to leave the default and hit export. This is going to export an XML file, which is actually an Excel file. Give it a couple of seconds to download and come back up. Again, this might seem like a lot of clicks and steps, but once you get the hang of it, it's pretty straightforward. In this case, this comes up in Excel 2013, and because I downloaded it off of the internet, Excel just want to make sure that I absolutely trust this data source, and I want to enable external data connectivity. And see what it says right here. It says, I need to have dynamic CRM for Outlook installed. And of course, that's one of our prerequisites for our Excel add-in. Once you install the dynamic CRM client for Outlook, again, it's a free add-in. Every CRM customer gets that for free, no additional charge or anything like that. Once I get that installed, I can go to the data tab, and there's this button that says refresh from CRM. And again, you know, I don't have any data right now, but when I hit refresh from CRM, this is now going to query the CRM web service through my Outlook client. It's going to get the table, it's going to list the columns, it's going to get all the data, and in a couple of seconds, hopefully, it'll bring all the data into Excel. So for somebody that's living and breathing within Excel, you know, they want, you know, a lot of business users love Excel. You know, they live and breathe in Excel. So they can live in Excel and still manipulate CRM data this way. They don't have to do, any kind of magic or anything like that. Just works, except for this morning. In any case, you know, we'll give it a good few seconds, but what I'm going to do in the meantime is I'm going to show you an export that I did last night. Oh. And let's go to Plan C. worst case, I hate to do this, but again, this is all live functional demo. But for the sake of everyone's time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through a video of this. So again, you know, this is a video, no hands, magic. But if, you know, the idea behind this is, you know, I can enable external connection. You know, if I'm living in CRM, I can go to data. I can hit refresh from CRM. And what this is again going to do is it's going to query our web services endpoint, and it's going to bring the data. You'll see it in a couple of seconds, and there's all the data. Yeah. And the interesting thing is, all of this data comes through, but one of the things that you can also do is you can save this as an XLSS file, which is the Excel format, because once you save it as an Excel file, if I have to create a new Power View, it's pretty straightforward. You know, I select the entire table that I want, and then once I select the table of data, I can hit the Power View button, and I have the Power View canvas right within Excel. I don't need SharePoint. I don't need anything else. All of this just works. And now within Excel, I can do things like, you know, I have my entire list of opportunities. I can move it around, and I'm doing all of this without writing any line of code. That's the interesting part. So if I want to create a new chart, what I can do is, you know, I can select a couple of columns from the list of columns that I have. So in this case, I can pick my actual revenue, an owner, and I can see who made, how did my salespeople do so far. And immediately, you know, I can convert this to a pie chart, and I can see, you know, who's my sales leader. This is sort of my sales leaderboard pie, and this is sort of my personal dashboard. And again, with a few clicks, I can do all of this. But again, for demo, what I've done is I've created a pre-canned report, of course. And again, this didn't take me more than 10 minutes, swear to God. This took me 10 minutes to build a wonderful management dashboard right from my data. One of the neat things I can visualize, again, if I look at, I'm going to quickly pause here. All right, I'm going to pause here for a second. Again, when you think about the capabilities, this is advanced capabilities that I didn't have before, insights I didn't have before. So, for example, in this case, I can see Mark Harrington. He has a lot of dollars in estimated revenue, but he hasn't committed much. And this is a term that we call in sales called sandbagging, which means, you know, somebody has a lot of potential, but they don't want to reveal it. Because if they lose a lot of deals, they're going to look bad. So they're just going to commit to a low number. And if they perform really well, they'll be like superstars. But if they lose a lot of deals, you know, it's not going to look as bad. So sandbagging is something that every sales manager wants to avoid. And this is the kind of insight that will get them. Again, you know, I can click on the estimated revenue for Mark. And as I click on any parts of this Power View dashboard, the rest of the chart dynamically reflects. So you saw that of the 37 million, you know, Mark has 14 million in first stage. He has, you know, 11.65 million in the last stage. So as a sales manager, I can reach out to Mark and help him in certain cases, for example. And again, I can also look at some advanced things, for example, with, you know, things like, you know, how does each one of them does in terms of the actual sales that they've made. So again, the same sales dashboard, but I can also have some lines that indicate, you know, Terry is indeed a superstar, but if I look at Jill, Lodi, and Mark, you know, others are doing sales in just one region, but I can get some insights saying, you know, Mark is doing well in North America, but he's also doing some sales in LATAM. Those are the columns at the bottom that represent to say, hey, Mark is doing wonderful all around the world. Again, these are simple insights. It would have taken me a lot of time to actually do this in reporting services, but with Excel and Power Pivot, I can do this in a configurable, user-friendly way. So again, any salesperson can, or sales manager can build this. You don't need to be a report admin to build this kind of functionality. And again, one of the wonderful things with Power View, with Excel 2013, is that you can take this Power View, upload it to SharePoint 2013, and again, without the big SQL 2012 backend, I can run the same chart within SharePoint 2013. So the same Excel sheet, I've just uploaded to SharePoint in this case. And once in SharePoint, you know, it's going to tell me, for the developers in the room, it's going to tell me, hey, this is in running in a sandbox, which means that this won't have certain capabilities. Like the refresh from CRM, for example, I have to always do this from the Excel client. When I upload this to SharePoint, it's going to tell me it's not going to able to be refreshing because it cannot run web queries. So the way you do this online is for people to just view this, upload it to SharePoint 2013, they can view this. And if they want to refresh the data, click open in Excel, refresh the data, save it right back. And again, from a capability perspective, I know I still get all of this. I get all the filtering. I can click on one of the things, and the chart filters right down. The same thing that I was able to do in Excel is now available in SharePoint 2013, in the cloud, with Excel 2013 and CRM Online. All of this in the cloud, no heavy lifting required. And again, that's really the power of this, is to say, this is powerful capabilities, but this is simple enough for anyone to do this. I think we are just a few minutes. We have a few more minutes left. So what I wanted to do quickly, again, like I said, we did have a lot of content, so I'm gonna quickly jump into the last demo of business connectivity services. So with business connectivity services, again, you are surfacing CRM data within SharePoint. So far, what we've done is we've taken documents from SharePoint and exposed that into CRM. But with BCS, we are exposing CRM data into SharePoint. And what does it look like? Again, I'm logged into Office 365 Preview, running SharePoint 2013. I can go into my sites. I'm going to go here to my customer relationships section. And one of the wonderful capabilities with business connectivity services in SharePoint 2013, because previously it was not easy. It was very painful to do BCS in SharePoint 2010. But with 2013, it can natively consume OData endpoints. And what does that mean? I can connect it to an OData endpoint of CRM, or I can connect it through a proxy. So in this case, I built a custom app called Customer Corner. And once I open up the app, what the app does is it queries the OData endpoint of CRM, brings back the data, and in this case, it shows me a list of account in this canvas right here. Again, I could have a chart using high charts, for example. All of this is done using simple JavaScript. No magic, no secret sauce to this. I can bring the CRM data and surface it here. And the wonderful thing here is that the user doesn't have to know this data lives in CRM. You know, you can tell, you know, for an executive like a CEO or, you know, some kind of CXO, if they want to get some insights into this, if they always use SharePoint, you can tell them, go to SharePoint, go to the customer corner, and see all the data, see all the metrics on all of that. You don't have to tell the user whether this lives in Dynamics or Salesforce or Oracle or any place in the world. You can surface this in a seamless way. And one of the advantages with BCS in 2013 is you can also edit the data. So somebody that can go in, edit a contact or edit an account, make changes, and the changes will be persisted to CRM on that. And the final thing that I'll also say is that from a licensing mechanism, again, I shouldn't be telling this out too loud, but I will. This is going to save you a lot of deployment costs. Because if you're using CRM, if you're logging into CRM like this and using this full CRM UI, you pay the full price. But if you're consuming CRM just through web services with your own user interface, you only pay 10% of the licensing fees for that user. So when do you need this capability? So, you know, when you need workflow, when you need reporting, when you need all of this built in, you know, for a heavy duty sales or a customer service user, of course you get them the full CRM. But for somebody that's casually using CRM, you know, they make a change probably once in 6 months, or they probably just read the data on an occasional basis. You know, you don't need them, you know, full CRM license. You could easily build something like this, you know, I literally took an hour to build this, but you could spend a week and obviously, you know, put a lot of fit and finish to this. And within a week's time, you know, you have a solution for part-time CRM users that's going to cost only 10% of the money. Again, my sales team is not too happy that I'm keep on saying this, you know, publicly, but, you know, again, I want everyone to benefit from this. And we really want you to use SharePoint and CRM together. Again, all we saw was just a tip of the iceberg, but there are many, many more solutions possible when you use SharePoint and CRM together. And again, there's a couple of sessions that happened earlier in the week. So if you are interested in the social side of the house, the session at the bottom, SPC 185, is where we covered how social with SharePoint, CRM, Yammer, and everything is going to work in the future, in the near future and the far future. And for document collaboration, there was a session yesterday that went a lot more deep into this. Again, we covered a lot of ground today. We had a lot of content. Again, you'll be able to download the slides, download the code, and all of that. And with that, I want to say thank you for bearing with me, and I hope you give me wonderful feedback.